This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's Basma Firehead of the People Speak Radio. Here, when the people speak, they make a difference. I have a message for all of you listeners tonight, and the message is that, after they dropped all those lovely little oil-eating organisms into the Gulf, everything is fine. All of the oil has been dissipated. Life is charming and wonderful, and the people of the Gulf Coast are all living in their in a wonderful little land of honey and roses. Or maybe not. Our guests tonight, unfortunately, may have a different story for us. It is my pleasure tonight to have Tricia Springsteen and Anita Stewart with us. Tricia is a registered nurse with, I believe it's the Barefoot Doctors, Tricia? Is that what you're...
Yes, I work in tandem with them. I'm not a member.
I see. Well, it's a pleasure, and you're also a scientist and very, very involved with the issues going on in the coastal region and the Gulf right now. And Anita Stewart is also with us. Anita is a longtime activist and worked on the Cynthia McKinney campaign. Hi, Anita. It's a pleasure having you with us as well.
Well, I want to thank you for having both of us on the air tonight.
Well, now, if I get you guys mixed up, you just holler and let me know who I'm talking to.
Okay, very good.
What we're going to do here tonight is what I just said was a bunch of hooey, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
So
you didn't
buy it?
Yeah,
you didn't buy it?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I wish it was a jovial situation, but unfortunately, it's probably one of the most dramatic and disastrous events that has hit our planet, I believe anyway. And I knew that once the oil well started to gush, immediately I just couldn't believe it. I was astounded. What we have here, can either you or Tricia, Anita or Tricia, give me a little bit of background on the history of what has been going on in the last few months since the oil spill?
Anita, why don't you start?
Yeah, what I can tell you just from networking with people that actually live closer to where the well is, which would be people in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, and up there in the panhandle of Florida, they're experiencing the oil still washing up on the shores, tar balls of every size and description, tar mats, what they call tar mats, which are the flattened pieces of tar, the smells of all of that, plus the dead animals, the marine life that's washing up that's dead. They are also seeing quite a military operation in place, which is either military or military contracted aircraft that continue to spray Corexit, which is the real green genie out of the bottle, out of this whole experience, is not just the crude oil, but the use of dispersants to sink it. This showing, or basically this creating the oil disappearance and lack of liability from BP, the Corexit spraying, we've seen canisters. We've, in the Gulf area, in the Gulf region, there's dump sites of the empty canisters. They were supposed to have stopped using the Corexit on July 19th, there's lately been pictures taken at some of these dump sites with delivery dates much later than that, like in August. So they are still spraying the Corexit.
They're also not supposed to be spraying it anywhere near a coastline. I believe the barrier is 3 miles from a coastline. They are still spraying it even inland. So the residents of the Gulf region are experiencing horrible and traumatic physical effects because of they're literally being gassed as they sit in their homes. And
now let me
go ahead.
May I ask you, thank you, Anita. Obviously, just an incredible amount of stuff is still happening. But may I ask you, Trish, why this is not being played up in the media at all? What is this cover-up that's going on that we're seeing, and why is this happening? Is it because of the extent of the damage that has incurred? Is it because of lawsuits? Is it because of the lack of wanting to place blame or responsibility on any particular government entities? What are the reasons for this?
The reasons are, and we can go right back to the 2000s. To the Cheney and Bush administration. After, as far as I'm concerned, Cheney was voted in as president of the United States, he met together with Rumsfeld and numerous other 80 oil companies. And what happened was he was doing deals. They wanted to just drill, baby, drill.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was there were give and takes in those meetings with those oil companies. And there was a $500,000 part. It was called an acoustic kill switch. And I'm just going to just make it as layman as possible. It's like a security officer, okay? Somebody sits in front of computers, and they watch the rigs, and they watch everything that's going on in the supposedly in the United mm-hmm. States on all rigs.
Right.
Well, when Cheney got all these people together, and God knows what other cretins he got in with that mess, what happened was there was give and take. And so they were given they deregulated the regulations, and the acoustic switch is only a $500,000 switch, which meant that if there was from a distance and these people watching the computers, if anything began to go wrong, then they would hit a switch, and it would immediately acoustically stop down those rigs. I blame this whole thing on the deregulation of our oil industry. The other thing is that, and I think what a lot of people don't realize, is that there's a man named Tom Tremato and a gentleman named B.K. Lim. Tom Tremato has written many articles on this, along with B.K. Lim. Tom Tremato is an integrative medical person and very knowledgeable. And B.K. Lim is a geohazards expert. And in one of his posts, it said, "What do you get when you mix oil and methane gas, oil and dispersant, corrects it, with a radioactive effluent?" That mud had a radioactive effluent in it. With surface burning oil, which were slicks of petroleum and dispersant, with lots of dead marine life of every sort and kind in a Gulf of Mexico during a hot summer. And the answer I'm going to give you is a toxic petrochemical stew, which is neither safe to eat from nor swim in. The affected beaches and wetlands and marshes and estuaries should be viewed with great caution and avoided altogether.
Well, let me ask you then, Tricia. In fact, from this stew, we are still being fed toxic fish, toxic seafood. The people that are living along the Gulf coastline are seeped in what could only be construed as toxic waste in their air supply, in their water supply, in their ground supply,
exactly.
In their soil.
Yep.
So what we're seeing is
benzene.
They're inhaling benzene. So, and let me ask you, what are some of the symptoms that people in the Gulf region are experiencing? What were the initial symptoms? And have they transformed in any way, shape, or form and become worse, lessened? You tell us. You're the nurse.
Okay. You know, first of all, I want to give a lot of credit to Ricky Ott. Ricky Ott has helped countless of persons fight valiantly for the people of Alaska, and then she came down here and began educating us. And there are no accidents in life. But what happens is they begin, except for this supposed accident, but, you know, this should be treated as a crime scene. So the physical ramifications, they have what they call flu-like symptoms, all right? Then they have sore throats. And then you look at the photos of the people, and you can see bruising underneath the skin. What happens is Corexit, what that does is it blows up the red blood cells. And so now they're having bleeding from every orifice in their body, that vaginally, through their noses, through their mouths, through their rectums, and you know it's really insane. And the problem is that, you know, with the 88.7 million barrels of carbon effluent. And that was oil, methane, and particulates. What happens is crude oil is a mixture of so many kinds of organic compounds, many of which are highly toxic and carcinogenic. So it takes one quart of motor oil to make $250,000 or gallons of ocean water toxic to wildlife. Then they're brain fogged. They have sensory deficits, and in a very short time, what is happening is we are seeing people with cancerous lesions.
Let me ask you to interject for a minute. When you say people are having these, can you tell us the volume of people that are experiencing these symptomologies?
Yes. And the bruising is occurring spontaneously because the mixture of the Corexit goes right through the skin. But the lung capacities of these people are declining by the day. I have spoken with numerous people, and one woman told me that she had 10% of her lung capacity. If you only have 10% of your lung capacity, then the heart is going to enlarge. And then, you know, then what happens is, you know, you have all this bleeding going on, and, you know, you get short of breath. And why do you get short of that breath? Well, because the red blood cells are being blown up by the chemicals.
And have they labeled this any kind? Do they call this the Gulf? The Gulf Stream plague? Is that a correct term?
The DT oil spill plague.
The DT oil spill
plague. Put the ownership right on the people.
Now, speaking of ownership, Anita, can you speak to us briefly on the responsible parties of this event? Who are they?
Okay.
I mean, when I say who are they, we know that BP is taking the full brunt of responsibility. We know that this has gone back as far as the deregulation process under the Bush and Cheney administration. But who are the key players that are covering up?
I disagree with Patricia just on a minor detail, and that's this one, that the oil rigs and the sanction and the permission for them to be in the Gulf and the financial, situation, you know, basically it boosted the finances of the people in the whole Gulf region. The wells started being placed in the Gulf region in the 40s, the 1940s. Mm. So if we sit and we try to place the blame on Cheney or Bush or Obama or, you know, or Clinton, because everybody's blaming stuff on Clinton, it goes way, way back before that. And to me, in my personal opinion, I believe that it doesn't have anything, at this point, it doesn't have anything to do with political party or who you support as a candidate or anything. When you go to opensecrets.org and you go under energy, you can look up and see that almost every single candidate for almost every single position regarding Congress, Senate, presidential, took money to finance their campaigns from big oil. They allowed the rigs to be there. They allowed the rigs to operate without any, almost very little oversight. In fact, the MMS, which was a government organization that was supposed to go in and provide the oversight, ended up mingling with the oil workers, and they were all in bed together, and they were all snorting coke together. And that ended up being a big mess. So there was never really any oversight at all in regards to how they performed their work out in the Gulf and exactly what the risks were and exactly what the hazards were. And this has been going on since the 1940s. Every time we've had a hurricane, there's been probably minor oil spills out there. We have evidence that it even happened during Katrina. And this has all been covered up. We've all been lied to, and BP certainly is at fault, but so is our government. So is our leadership. Our leadership has been hijacked by the corporations, and now the corporations call the shots.
We have Gary.
And the move to amend, I fully support the move to amend.org petition, which would be to add another amendment to the Constitution, which would take away corporate personhood, which we have in place now, where corporations are people. Corporations are not people, and money is not free speech. So
our government belongs
to us, not the corporations. And
we have a caller, ladies, that has a question for you on the line in the queue.
Okay.
Gary is on the queue, and Gary, do you have a question for either Tricia or Anita or both?
Yes, thank you, Basma, and thanks. This is Gary from Pal Talk. Thanks for coming on the show, ladies. I wanted to ask a question about the EPA claiming that the water in the Gulf is basically oil-free. I've seen videos and still pictures. People have stood on the shore. They've dipped their fingers or their feet in the water right at the shoreline, and they come up with gook all over their feet or their hands. And what does that tell us about the government not protecting the people? And I'll hang up and listen to the call, and thanks again for joining us.
The government is no longer... Go ahead, Tricia. Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to answer that one. It is a cover-up. And you can go all the way back in history, and you can find out that many of our richest people are tied to oil. All right? So I believe, you know, that people behind the scenes, and I want to know who the men in the shadows are. I want to know who they are. But I think the people behind the scenes wanted this to go away. And bottom line, it was about our economy. Florida's in a mess. I mean, it's bankrupt, and some of the other states. It's all about the money, and if it's not seen, then it's not there. But Anita can add something to this about what was discovered on Sarasota Beach.
Well, even the blackout of our media is complicit in all of this in regards to testing, even local testing. I'm going to get to that in a minute. I just wanted to make sure that that I stated that this is what's happening in the Gulf is a concerted effort between media, big corporations, our government, and our military. Because our military is in on this, too, because they've been spraying the Corexit all along. And they're providing security for BP because there's still activity out at the well sites. Now, I will bring up that on September 22nd, we did an independent test under a citizens initiative called testingthewater.org. We did an independent test of a sand sample off Sarasota Beach. It came back at 173 parts per million, which is, you know, it's toxic. And then we had that same test fingerprinted because the first thing the media said and the first thing that the local, you know, local scientists said and the local officials, oh, that could have been oil from an outboard motor or from some other source or maybe somebody dumped some gas in the water or
a boat went down, or whatever
the case. Anyway, they came up with all the excuses, so we went ahead and fingerprint tested that that sample, and it was fingerprint matched to the well and to the Corexit that was being used at the well and the crude. So, what I'm saying here, knowing that much, that there is a concerted effort to keep this information from the public. We have a different tourist season here on the west coast of Florida than they do up in the Panhandle, Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana. Their tourist season is primarily summer. Well, ours began in November. So when we took this sample, it was in September. So, of course, they didn't want any kind of negative publicity to get out to spoil the, you know, to spoil the winter tourist season here in this area of Florida. And this is all a lie. And it's being done all over the Gulf region, from Mexico Texas, all the way around.
I'll tell you, Trish, and this is Trish. First of all, ladies, some of our audience is confused. If you would identify yourselves as you speak. Tricia, okay. what I'd like to say is, you know, I find it astounding. We do have another caller in the queue, and we'll take that call in just a second. What I found astounding is that here we have millions of gallons that have just been dumped into our water source in the Gulf, and they're telling you that it could have been from an outboard motor? I mean, seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously.
I mean, even the credibility behind that is just beyond the imagination.
Stupid.
Just astounding. We do have a caller in the queue. Caller, can you identify yourself and ask the question, please?
Yes, Brian Davis calling.
Hey, hello, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Yeah, I have a question for Tricia. And I want to say that I appreciate both of you, actually all three of you on tonight. But my question is, I think Tricia was asked a question concerning how many people are actually sick down there. In terms of what percentage, and then she was still talking about how the sickness is manifesting. And I know Tricia personally, and I know she was there, and she was actually walking among the gook. But if she could tell us what she thinks about how many people are sick and if there's any statistics out there. And the third part of my question is, how does BP believe they're going to be able to get away with this in this age of communication?
All right. One question.
I'll get off the phone so I can listen to.
Thank you, Brian. BP, Exxon, all those people, They think they can get away from anything because they own us. Now, the amount of total dispersant that was that went out is 1,843,786 gallons. That was a dispersant. The oil that came out of there was over 2 million gallons. I believe Anita, 2,700,000 and something gallons.
I heard so many different numbers, but they all conflict. But the thing about it is whatever number that they've given us, the authorities, is probably
right.
A downplayed number. So we don't know what's accurate and what is, made up. We at this point we don't know.
I was up there. I was called by I have some scientists that are quantum physicists and very interesting people, and they work with structured water, actually. And so what I did was they called me, and they were in California. I was here, and I had been doing some research on a disease that we were trying to work on, and I'd been working on that and advocating for these people for a long time. So what happened was I get back, and they called and said, we need samples. So my friend David Curtis, who I couldn't never have pulled this off without, I said, come on, let's go. Let's leave. Let's go up. So we get up to the panhandle. It was the day after Obama was there. and my theory is if you ever really want to know what's going on, in a fishing town or a fishing area, find the local bar. But that's where you're going to find the workers and the people that are out there every day. So we go into this bar, and to make a long story short, the middle management VP were flashing their lighters at me, and David was talking to other people that were the workers, and finally some kind of slipped us a note and said to go to Orange Beach. We get to Orange Beach. Ron Mott's on the bridge. I walk up to Mott. I said, Ron, what's going on here? Where's the oil? There was 12 inches yesterday on this beach. And he said they covered it up. I said, these guys cannot even talk to people because they have to sign non-disclosure clauses. You couldn't even ask them a question. You couldn't even ask them where the oil was.
Tricia, if I'm not mistaken, didn't they change the rule for people that you couldn't get any closer than 65 feet from the oil spill?
Right. And you can't dig in the sand on the beach either, because they're trucking sand in to cover it up. So
and
people are being threatened that if they dig in the sand or their kids build a sandcastle, that they're going to go to jail. So,
and, the other thing was then we went over to the next township from there. I can't remember the name right now. But anyways, we ran into some honest people. They told us where to go. And my partner and I go down to the water. I have all my equipment, everything, and I'm getting sand and tar balls. I know my tar balls. I grew up in California. I remember the spill in, I believe it was 96 or 99 in Santa Barbara. When you walked on the beach, you got tar on your feet. And I began opening these things up, and I was in the water with my shorts and scooping up this stuff with my hands. And then we go to the car. We got all our samples. I was labeling them, dating them, putting coordinates on them, getting everything together, and put them in the back of the truck. So then what happened was all of a sudden people are watching us, and all of a sudden cop cars are coming in. And we were being watched, just like those guys that were working out there on the boats. they were being watched in that bar. And then I realized the trouble we were in. We were in a military zone, and BP, I'm telling you, BP and whoever the powers that be are have hired guns.
Let me ask you, ladies, under the circumstances, under the understanding that, according to you, Anita, you believe that that this has gone as far back as the 1940s, that it really doesn't have anything to do with any kind of regulation or any particular administration. It has to do with the money that could be had and made through these oil. So therefore, not only is BP not the only ones to blame, but the United States government is complicit. Many people that have...
Exactly.
Do you see
our Congress people, our presidents, our senators, even our local people, our tourist agencies, even our professors at universities that need to have specific studies funded so they can keep working, so they can keep making money? Everybody is bought off by BP. Everybody is bought for their silence and
to toe the line in what
the BP wants them to say.
So who do you report to, ladies, as far as a group of interested scientists and media? Who do you report to? Who do we tell this to? Who talks about this? And what government officials can you go to place to make these statements?
Well, in my case, I contracted, I got a hold of my congressman, my Democratic congressman, Bill Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a letter right now on that he had written to Obama when this happened, telling him, look at the history. Look at the history. Look where it goes back to. So I reported to him. We have reported, Anita and I are always picking up the phone and you know, and trying to be nice, you know. Hey, how are you today? We got a little problem down here. People are dying, you know. And the only person, I mean, in this state, Anita and I, it seems as though we are treated like Chicken Little. The sky is falling.
The sky is falling. Isn't that kind of a Republican way of responding to everything? The sky is falling. Go away, little girl.
Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with Republican, because the Democrats are just as on board with this.
I'll tell you about a
statewide initiative that went global before the spill even happened. I was organizing with HandsAcrossTheSand.com. It was an organization that where people would gather, arrange events in their hometown, hold hands on the beach, and say no to big oil. And this first event was going to coordinate with legislation that was going on in Tallahassee at the time that would lift the moratorium and allow the wells to be right off the beaches here in Florida. So the first event was February 13th in 2010, and we did that event. And, of course, just a little over 2 months later, the oil spill happened, and then we did a second event on June 26th. And by that time, of course, it was not just Florida involved. It was the whole world. So there were locations global that, did events to coordinate with what we were doing here in Florida. And that was our message, was that this is not a partisan, issue. This affects everybody, everywhere, and to bring, partisanship in or party in or a specific candidate or whatever makes no sense now, because when you go to opensecrets.org and you look and see who took the money, they all took the money, all of them.
Yes. And I do agree with Anita. It's not a Republican thing. It's not a Democratic thing. It's not a Green Party thing. It's a we thing.
Yeah, it's
we have another caller on the line, ladies.
Like that. when we do our activism, we have to approach it like that. There should be no barriers. People should be working together to stop this. But right now, all we've got is our voices. Everything else has been taken away from us. Our credibility, the fact that the media is going to report on this, the fact that our local officials are going to do anything about this, they're not going to, because that's going to affect tourism. It's going to affect dollars coming into the state. In Florida, for instance, $65 billion business. Tourism industry here in Florida is all we have at this point in time after our real estate market collapsed. So here we are in this situation where we are like a voice crying in the wilderness trying to get people to listen to us. I have sent messages. I have picked up the phone. I worked on Dennis Kucinich's presidential campaign. I was a member of his staff. He gets dispatches from me regularly. Cynthia McKinney gets dispatches from me regularly. I'm sending emails all over the world. I don't know what else I can do. I've done
well,
everything.
Right now, what we can do is probably
keep
from the caller from staying on the line too much longer. We do have a caller in the queue. Caller, can you identify yourself and ask your question of either Anita or Tricia or both?
Well, yes. This is Dave Curtis. I was the one that went with Tricia to the Gulf, and we were in Orange Beach, and we were indeed watched while we were approaching the vehicle with our case of samples, and there was a gentleman inside of this vehicle, this SUV, who was on the phone, and he was looking directly at us and speaking rather quickly and excitedly, and then I said to Tricia, I said, this guy is watching us, and she said, no, he's not watching us. I said, sure, this guy is absolutely watching us, and he's on the phone right now. So we better get out of here. So we got into our vehicle, and sure enough, as we were heading out one exit, there were two cop cars speeding in through the other one, and we just hightailed it out of there and got out of there just in time. We would have
been arrested. That is a class 4 felony and a $40,000 fine.
Wow. Dave, were you guys concerned about your safety at any time during this?
Well, we were fortunate in one regard, and that is that the cleanup crew had been on the beach early. We were informed by the fishermen, by one of the cleanup people the night before that the spill was on Orange Beach. So they had just gone in and scooped that stuff up and invited, I believe it was the mayor, and they had a TV crew there filming the mayor. So we were there at the beach within sight of this interview going on. So we were protected in that regard, because had the cameras then panned onto us, we would have been surrounded by people and they would have been taking us away there. But because of the fact that the media was present, we were safer than we would have been had there not been anyone there with a camera.
Oh, yeah, we'd have definitely gotten arrested.
We were very fortunate. But at the point where we left the view of the camera, where we were entering the parking lot area, that was when we were in the most danger. And they also had some heavy equipment there digging holes in the sand, and I'm not quite sure what they were doing there, but that looked kind of suspicious to me anyway.
Can I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, I know, you know, all of it, we're always seeing how there are new documentaries coming out and these secret documentaries. Are there any film crews that you were able to witness during your time in the area? Do you know of any particular film studios or filming crews that are trying to create documentaries based on what's happening down in the Gulf?
There's a man we need to give a lot of credit to. His name is Dar Jamal. Has been up there.
And the other one is the Project Gulf Impact.
Guest on our show.
And they have their own website, and they also have their YouTube channel. They are documenting what's going on in the Gulf, and they're also interviewing the people that are really trying to do the work, like the chemists, the people that are, you know, that are part of the fishing industry and tourism industry. So you can find their website just by putting in a search Project Gulf Impact or going to YouTube and doing a search for that channel, which is Project
Gulf
Impact.
And when David and I came back home from that trip, we were both really sick.
Sick. Now, is that something that you are concerned about, is contracting this ailment? And I believe that the previous guest had, again, asked the same question. What percentage of people in the Gulf area are experiencing these symptoms?
That is an unknown.
Let me answer that, too. What I really want people to understand that Tricia and I are both licensed medical professionals, but we are bound by what's called HIPAA laws. So we cannot, you know, publish people's medical conditions. We cannot post them anywhere. We have medical people that are working all over the Gulf, independent people. Most of the doctors are really trying to explain this away. There are certain doctors like Dr. Soto up in the Panhandle, Rodney Soto, who is actually doing something for patients. He's actually doing a workup on them to determine the contaminants that are in their blood. But in any case, it's almost impossible to get those numbers because information is so restricted.
On August the 20th, the CDC walked out on those people.
Yes,
CDC.
They closed their offices, and I think I spoke to one person who said that they were canvassing people in her neighborhood and speaking with them. But I personally have never spoken with anyone that ever spoke to the CDC. And if you go to their website, their reports aren't even completed. You can't get any information from their reports on what's going on in the Gulf or what happened in the Gulf before August 20th when they packed up and left.
Well, I do have a couple of questions from some of our audience members in here. And let me see, one of them, Sherry in Tennessee, asked, have they found any illnesses or any of the illnesses or diseases to be contagious in any way, shape, or form?
Tricia, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I spoke with I'm going to be actually meeting with them on Friday up the Panhandle. I spoke with numerous people that worked on that spill. And the way that they were treated was deplorable. And now they're telling me that their children also have this. Now, I'm going to go up there and assess it because there's 10 of them that want to talk to me. And I want to go up and I want to assess these people and see if the children weren't near the water. You know, that is really what the unknown is. So I want to know. And the other thing is that they're not doing is they're just blanketly calling these lesions that these people have, staff from across the room, MRSA from across the room, show me some clinical swabs. They're not even swabbing them. And then now Anita and I and Deborah Dupre and numerous other people, Patricia James, I mean, a bunch of us we're realizing that, you know, I've got photos of parents letting children play in oil. You know, what is wrong here? And it's because, you know, they're not telling it. They're not saying anything. And I'm telling you, Anita and I are going to go down if the ship goes down, screaming. Because I've just had it.
Yeah, I can't even imagine the children involved in this and why the outcry of the parents has been a lot stronger than it has. But I suppose...
Well, the thing that I need to note here is that if these things, if the parents believe the media that nothing's wrong, and they go take their child to the doctor, or they don't, whatever, most people can't afford to take their kid to the doctor, and they think, you know, these ailments are mimicking flu or cold-like symptoms, then they wouldn't know otherwise, because the CDC isn't there to help them, the EPA isn't there to help them, and the media is not broadcasting the truth. So the other thing that is of important note here is Dr. Ricky Ott, when she was in the area, the Exxon Valdez survivor, and she's also the author of Not One Drop, which tells the story of the Exxon Valdez, and it's not too much unlike what is going to be happening in the Gulf. Mm-hmm. She stated, when you've got a parent and you've got a child and both of them are breathing in toxic air or contaminated in toxic water, the child is going to be able to take a lot less of it and be contaminated a lot more. So
I believe we have a caller on the line.
Caller, your name, can you identify yourself and ask your question of the ladies? Hello? Well, I guess we've lost our caller. Oh, okay. We do have a question from Jane in Oregon. And Jane asks, I've heard there is at least one oil leak in the Gulf that is occurring, that is still occurring and being ignored. Is that true?
Yes. That is probably true. Simply because the oil is still washing up, the authorities, the media have said that it was capped. But when they kept showing us the BP feeds, they were showing us two different sets of coordinates on those BP feeds. So it looks like it was leaking from two different locations, two different wells, whatever you want to call it. There were two sets of coordinates that were broadcasted by BP themselves. And the other issue is there's a lot of video that looks like it makes it look like it's seeping right up from the seabed floor, and Senator Nelson from Florida even stated that in his preliminary statement on what was happening in the Gulf. He said it looked like they cracked the seabed. Those were his exact words. He never brought that up again. And I asked him that personally when I went to a campaign event probably about 2 months ago, and he ignored my question as he shook my hand. So this leads me to believe that he was told to be silent about what was happening out there.
Well, I'm absolutely positive of that. I believe everybody is being censured. Kevin Main would like to ask you, ladies, I'm reading many headlines stating the Gulf is dead. What is your opinion?
Yes. It's dead.
It's dead.
There's virtually no life there. And if there is life there, a pelican, a couple of seagulls, whatever, they're coming in from other places, and they're quickly leaving. There is no life there. It's been effectively killed by the toxic chemicals, the dispersants, and the oil. So,
something else that people need to know. On May the 23rd, the EPA ordered BP to find a less toxic substance and corrects it for bioremediating that oil. And the Coast Guard, this tells you how tied the military is to the oil companies. The Coast Guard gave BP 74 exemptions. The workers were not permitted to wear respirators. They were told by management if family members went out and bought them respirators to take them off. I mean,
we have a couple more callers on the line, ladies. Wow, you guys have just been so incredibly popular. I appreciate this. We're going to try to get them in briefly. First caller, please identify yourself and your question for the ladies.
Hi, Brian Davis calling back. I had a quick question. There was in the news today, 500 birds fell from the sky in Arkansas. Could that be related to this spill? And
yes.
I'll hang up so
Yes, it probably
10,000 fish in Arkansas, 100,000 fish in an Arkansas river dead. Now, We have birds falling out of the sky in Kentucky and now in Louisiana. I'm sorry.
Something's going on, people. We have another caller,
you
ladies.
Know what?
The next caller, please. Your name and your question for the ladies.
Hi, my name is Margie, and I'm calling from Key West, Florida. I'm just wondering about what's happening here in Key West, in this part of Florida. And also, I usually buy my produce, organic produce, in Homestead, which is just right on the mainland. And I'm also wondering about what type of effect that this has to, you know, many of the farmers, you know,
on land. That is an excellent question, Margie. We are getting a lot of reports. People report to us because they trust us and they know that we're going to, you know, we're going to tell the truth. We've been getting a lot of reports on crop damage. We've been getting a lot of reports on, you know, trees dying. You know, if you think about it, that stuff, that benzene and all of that, that effluent, see, the problem was they didn't do the testing at the right time for the air quality. It disperses at 80 degrees. But if you wait for it to set down and it gets cooler, then you can test the air quality. The problem is that the rains and even, you know, just even the wind blowing on any kind of mist off of or onto shore, I believe, yes, can create crop damage. Now, as far as the keys are...
Oh, go ahead.
There's a woman named Captain Lori who... is going out and getting samples for us right now.
Oh, great.
Wow.
Do you know when that's going to, when we'll know about that?
Yeah, it shouldn't be.
Thank you, Margie.
In a different future, in the future. Anita, do you know anything about Hutchinson? The Tesla?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, well,
ladies, this has been an amazing interview. I'm afraid we're all out of time. You know, the time went so quickly. We had so many questions. There's 100 more questions that we have to ask. I'd like to invite both of you back real soon, probably within the next couple of months, to let us know some of the findings of your research and your investigations. I hope that'll be okay.
Wonderful.
With you. Thank you,
yeah,
Christine.
That'd be fine.
By the time you get back with us, I have an article almost completely printed and done, cited, and photos, and I'm submitting to the National Public Health Alert. So that
absolutely
will go to
wonderful.
Every National Public Health Agency in the United States of America.
Well, thank you, ladies, very much. We appreciate your work. We appreciate you as good citizens. And it is with deep honor that I would like to invite you back, because you are the real heroes of the American people, people that have stood up and voiced their opinion, spoken truth. Seems that the truth has to have a veil in the United States of America these days to be heard. We hear you, and we are proud of you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And it was a pleasure having you all with us this evening on the People Speak radio show. And never forget, when the people speak, we make a difference. So speak out. Thank you.
Namaste.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York. York Island, the redwood forest, to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.